ask everyone to introduce themselves, that would be much better.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, members. I am Dawn Bell. I'm the Chief Director for Legislation in the Civilian Secretariat for Police.
Alvin Rapea, Secretary for Police Service.
Afternoon, Chair, honorable members. My name is Milton Duana, Director responsible for legislation in the Civilian Secretariat for Police.
I am Chris Makobuti from IPT.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. I am Mary Ann Morwasi, Chief Director, Legal Services, ICRED. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, honorable members. I'm Viceroy Mauka, Director, Litigation and Advisory Services in IPT.
So welcome to Mr. Sean Tate of APCOS and other members of civil society. You're very much welcome. Members, just maybe the background, and we also want to welcome the Parliamentary Legal Advisor with us. We also appreciate that. When we did our strategic analysis of this year, we looked at the various issues before us. In terms of legislation, one of the issues that we as a committee needs to deal with is the IPED Amendment Bill. Now, in terms of the ruling of the Constitutional Court, it must be dealt with by Parliament before September of this year. And so we had further discussions with the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and also with the Civilian Secretariat. And it's quite clear, if the normal process is followed, where the Executive tables the legislation in Parliament, we're not going to be able to make it in time. So we looked at various options. The option that is, and the legal advisor will speak to that, is the issue of a committee bill. So that is actually with the briefing we're going to have, and we'll then ask the members to deliberate, and of course then we'll take it forward. So that is really the only agenda item. Welcome to the Parliamentary Legal Advisors. Welcome to introduce himself, and then we can continue. Thank you.
Pardon, Chair. We were told there would be documentation we could follow on.
Yes. Apparently there was, I don't know, I've asked the content advisor to make sure that we get those documentation. I don't know why copies were not made. But hopefully it will arrive soon. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to the members. As the Chair indicated, I'm from the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, Parliamentary Legal Services, the Legislative Drafting Unit. My name is Michael Prince. As an introduction, Chair, I would just like to give a recap of the Constitutional Court order in the McBride matter and what the implications of that order is for Parliament. So very shortly, in terms of the court order, the Constitutional Court declared that the following provisions are invalid to the extent that they authorize the Minister of Police to suspend, take disciplinary steps pursuant to suspension, or remove from office the Executive Director of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, or IPID. These sections are, or provisions are, Section 63A and 66 of the IPID Act, Section 16A1, 16B, 17(1) and 17(2) of the Public Service Act, and Regulation 13 of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Regulations for the operations of IPID. Parliament was then directed by the Constitutional Court to cure the defects in the legislation within a period of 24 months from the date of the order. Pending the correction of the defect, the Court held that Section 66 of the IPED Act is to be read as providing as follows, and I quote, that subsection 17D(a)(3) to 17D(a)(7) of the Police Services Act 68 of 1995 apply to the suspension and removal of the Executive Director of IPED with the changes as may be required by the context. Further, that Section 16A1 and 16B, 17(1) and 17(2) of the Public Service Act and Regulation 13 of the IPED regulations be declared inconsistent or was declared inconsistent with Section 206, sub 6 of the Constitution, and that those sections and regulations will not apply to the Executive Director of the IPED. So as stated earlier, the court in fact provided a reading in provision of how we can amend the IPUT Act, and the court struck certain provisions off for invalidity as it pertains to the executive director of IPUT. Now this judgment, as the chair alluded to earlier, was delivered on the 6th of September 2016. The deadline for the amendment of the bill that addresses the defects in the IPUT Act and for it to be assented to by the President is therefore 5 September 2018, 24 months after the court order. If the committee agrees that the IPUT Act should be cleaned up, or if the department is proposing an amendment to the IPUT Act and the cleaning up of the IPUT regulations, the committee may then further address this matter in one of two ways. Firstly, the committee could make use of its oversight role. Once the committee has confirmed, in fact, that the department is willing to amend the Act and the regulations, and the committee will then be able to monitor the progress in respect of the proposed bill through its oversight role. Or, as the chair has mentioned, the committee could address this by way of a committee bill. The committee could request permission to introduce a committee bill that will amend the impugned sections in the IPUT Act. Should the committee decide that it wished to proceed by way of a committee bill, I've got a short presentation on just the process that it would have to follow. I can just get this going. Which is in terms of the National Assembly rules. This is a snapshot of the rules as it contained, as it pertains to the legislative process of a committee bill. So the first rule there, rule 273.1, says that the committee will have to develop and table a memorandum for the purposes of obtaining the National Assembly's permission to draft a committee bill. That memorandum, the Speaker will then place on the order paper, and the Assembly will have to give permission for the drafting of the committee bill. The Assembly may also refuse permission to draft the draft committee bill, and the rule sets out the criteria that needs to be established. Rule 274.1A then says the committee must prepare a draft bill. In this regard, capacity has been created within legal services. As I stated earlier, I'm from the legislative drafting unit, so we are able to assist the committee in drafting that committee bill. The committee will then consult the joint tagging mechanism for advice on the tagging or classification of that bill. A notice of intention to introduce must then be published in the Government Gazette, together with a copy of the bill or an explanatory memorandum, explanatory summary of the bill. Rule 276.4 says if a copy of the bill is published in the Government Gazette, a notice must contain an invitation for interested persons and institutions to submit written representations on the bill. Interested persons must be given at least 3 weeks after publication to comment. And all relevant departments or organs of state must be given sufficient opportunity to make submissions on the bill. The committee will then report to the House when it publishes a draft bill. This usually takes the form of an interim report. It's almost a progress report of the committee to the House. The committee must just take cognizance of Section 59.1A that deals with public participation, where the Constitution says that the public participation must be meaningful opportunities for public participation in the lawmaking process must be given by Parliament. And this speaks to the nature of the public participation that the committee wishes to agree on. Rule 275 sub D says the committee may, in view of any comments received, make amendments to a draft bill before it is introduced. And the committee will then again consult the joint tagging mechanism for advice on that classification of the bill. The bill now in the form of a final bill that it wished to introduce. So the second classification will be on this final bill that the committee wishes to introduce after it has made amendments, if any, to the bill. That bill will then be certified by Parliamentary Legal Services. The certification speaks to the constitutionality of the bill and how it fits in with existing legislation and whether the bill is properly drafted in form and style. The committee will then introduce the bill by submitting a copy thereof and supporting memorandum to the Speaker, as well as the finding of the JTM on that final bill must accompany the bill when it is introduced. A committee bill doesn't have a first reading. Instead, it is placed on the order paper for a second reading. Rule 290 sub 2B says at least 3 assembly working days must elapse since the bill was introduced before the second reading can commence on a committee bill. Chair, when the bill is, this process that is highlighted here is what happens to the bill in the NCOP. I don't know if you want me to go very briefly through that. This bill, for all intents and purposes, will probably be a Section 75 bill. So after the National Assembly has concluded its process of adopting a bill, it will be transferred to the NCOP, where it will be referred to a committee in the NCOP. And the normal 75 process will ensue in the NCOP, where they'll deliberate on the bill, and they will make recommendations to the National Assembly. That recommendation gets sent back to this committee. This committee will consider it, and the committee, in terms of Section 75 procedure, will then decide whether it wants to take up those recommendations or not. And the committee will either then... just 1 second. The NA will either then pass a bill as amended with NCOP amendments, or the version that the NCOP has, the version that the NA committee has originally adopted. Chair, that in a nutshell is the committee bill procedure. I lost the feed now, but that was the end of the presentation. That is the committee bill procedure.
For your presentation, questions from members? Thank you, Honourable Obana.
Could I find out why it is you've sat on this for a year and a half before bringing it to us, leaving us in this situation where we have to do it as a committee bill and hustle it through? I'm not sure.
Let's pose that question to the...
I don't know who that goes to. Yes, hello. Tell us what's happening here.
Let's ask the civilian secretary who's responsible for legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The drafting, because of the instability in IPIT, because when we draft legislation at the Civilian Secretariat, we do it with the department concerned. During that time that we were supposed to start with the process, the executive director was still outside, and the legal people were also away, because there were some of the people who were also suspended in the process. We had an acting executive director, and there was no proper direction in terms of that. So that delayed the work. We drafted after the executive director came back, and the draft was finalized in, when was it? In December. And that's when we started engaging in terms of the time frame when the chairperson approached us to say we might not make it if we go through the cabinet process.
To get to the timelines, this judgment was on the 5th of September 2016. Was that not after McBride came back? He was still on suspension. So if he was on suspension, why did he not come back immediately after the judgment? I know it was the most terrible year IPED has ever had in the history of mankind, but I'm trying to get the timeline straight.
Your secretary?
I might not have the dates in terms of when he came back, but I think that the IPIT... When did we start? I think we started with the process after he came back. Yeah. We started with the process after he came back. And it was slow, the process. And then we had the change of the ministers in April. And there were other priorities in the minister, because of the capacity also which we had, that also impacted on that. So the other issue in April, when that change came in, members of parliament will recall, we had a 100-day program with the minister. There were changes in terms of priorities and so on, and that impacted on the work that we were doing.
Yes, Honourable Kaivana, yes.
Chair, I really think we need to look at the capacitation of the secretariat. That's why I thought he was back in 2016. So this is taken, bearing in mind that it was the changes the Constitutional Court wanted made were already drawn up by them. So there was no drafting to be done. It was already done by the Constitutional Court, we were told. They drew up the changes. So it simply had to be typed out and sent to us. And we've sat for a year and a half, and now we're being hustled. So they need more staff or something. If we're going to wait a year and a half for a minor change already drafted by a court, we're never going to see another bill.
Maybe Honourable Kaivana, that's where the Oversight Committee had to step in, because if we allow the executive to continue with the pace, we're not going to reach that day deadline. But it's also important that we implement the decision of the Constitutional Court. It's quite important. So we can't really wait. We already, in February today, and in terms of if we approve on Tuesday to go this way, we will be able to deal with it quite swiftly. And ensure that it reaches also the NCOP early enough so that the President of the Republic can ascend with it quite early. And I think the approach is going to be that, there's already a draft bill from the Secretariat. So what we envisage as well, that there will be close cooperation between the committee and the various role players, so that we can move quite fast and deal with it appropriately. So I think the big thing is we must ensure that the IPED Act is amended as per the Constitutional Court decision, and that's that. Yes, Secretary, you're welcome.
Maybe let me just explain, because when we started the drafting, there were issues that were raised by IP to say we can use this opportunity to actually amend the whole bill. And that's what caused the delay. If we were only focusing on the areas that the Constitutional Court raised, we would have finished quicker. We went throughout the whole bill in terms of the changes, and that actually is the one that actually took a lot of time as we were drafting.
Thank you for that information. We appreciate Mr. Epia. Honourable Marking.
Thank you, Chairperson. So what we are actually saying now is that we are dealing with the Constitutional Court decision, and then they will deal with whatever they deal with at their own pace. The secretary, we are not taking every other thing that we will. Is that the decision that we would be taking as the committee? Then I would like to find out. So the process is, we are not going to get a situation whereby it is still to go to the executive and be, then I'm happy with that. Then we can get through with it. And if the civilian secretariat needs to overhaul the whole bill, they will do it after we have done with the Constitutional Court. Because what it means is that if it was sent back to Parliament, they are referring to this court. That is Parliament that the Constitutional Court refers to. And we don't want to be embarrassed by not meeting the deadline. Thank you.
Other members? Right, thank you very much, members. Is there any other questions? So I think what we will do then, if there's agreement by members, we will on Tuesday then just bring the formal resolution to the committee to agree that we move this route, and then we will have to decide on a work plan. As I've indicated previously, that means additional Fridays, possibly, and we might also have to work in some constituency period. But let's see, because that's now additional apart from the infrastructure protection bill that's on us. But I mean, this is not really, I mean, we must go through the processes indicated by the legal advisor, and we want to thank him for his work. But the big thing is we need to ensure that we deal with the Constitutional Court judgment. So that is really the aim. So we will then, I think then what we will do, members, on Tuesday, we will then come with a resolution. We will just ask the committee secretary just to liaise with the legal advisor, and then we will after that draw up a work plan. And of course, we will then rope in also the experts on that side who worked, and of course there will be also a public participation process, so the department can also come and give the input, and interested organizations. So we will also follow that process. So thank you very much. Yes. Honourable members, thank you very much. We come to the end of this meeting. We will then see each other 10 o'clock on Tuesday, when we will get feedback from, again, the Civilian Secretariat as well as the Department of Police on the Protection Bill and the Infrastructure Protection Bill. And, of course, we will start with our broad discussions. Thank you very much, members. This meeting is closed. Thank you.